The beautiful thing about that song is now that song's true for that family. Well, Rachel's trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. What a blessing that was for her to come and make that public. Praise the Lord for that. How many of you are happy for her? Say a big amen. Isn't that great? Praise the Lord for it. And that's all that really matters in this life is, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? And that's a great thing. I want you to take your Bible, turn to the book of Joshua chapter 14. I'm going back tonight to my series on Bible mountains. Bible mountains. And we've come to a mountain that I've simply entitled Caleb's Mountain. If I cough through this message, forgive me. It's all right. Good. I don't know if I'm contagious, so if you know somebody that you don't like, send them to shake my hand. I'll cough on them and not cover my mouth when I do, okay? Caleb's Mountain in Joshua chapter 14, for time's sake, I'm just going to read verse number 12 because we'll allude to some of these verses throughout the message. We're going to be preaching from verse 6 down to verse 15, but for time's sake, verse number 12. Caleb speaking, saying, "Now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." Again he said, "Give me this mountain." And I preach to you tonight on Caleb's mountain. Let's pray together we share this thought. Father, help us tonight. May the will of God be done. Give my body strength. Help me to get through this. I pray that you'll speak to our hearts. Thank you for how we felt your sweet spirit today, all day long. Thank you for this service here tonight that we have felt your presence among us again. And I pray for this message that you'll use it in a great way. May thy will be done, we pray, in our midst in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'd been plowing through the Word of God and had come to the Mount of Transfiguration. Now, I'll be honest with you, I had every intention to start in the Old Testament and just plow through, but I got to thinking about this particular mountain in the Old Testament that I had not preached about, and I felt the Lord leading me back to this mountain known as Caleb's Mountain. Now, as we consider these verses, just by means of introduction, there are three thoughts I see just introducing this to you. In verses 6 through 11, we notice Caleb's reviews. Matter of fact, let's just read that together, some of it here. "Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua and Gilgal." Now this is Caleb speaking. "And Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again as was in mine heart." Now down through verse 11, we notice that he's giving a review of what happened in the book of Numbers. If you remember, whenever the 12 spies were sent into the promised land, Caleb and Joshua were the only two out of the 12 that came back and gave a good godly report. He's giving a review of this to Joshua at this point. Now it's important that you understand that Caleb, as we're in Joshua chapter 14, Caleb is 45 years older than he was in Numbers chapter 14. In Numbers 14, he is 40 years old when he sent as a spy. But as he's speaking here and we're reading it, he is 85 years of age. Now that being the case, he gives a review in verses 6 through 11. In verse number 12, we see his request. He said, "Now give me this mountain." Then in verses 13 to 15, we see his reward. He is given the place called Hebron. Now, what I want to talk to you about tonight, preach to you about, is we see here that Caleb wanted everything God had for him. He didn't want to settle for anything less than everything God had for his life. He wanted God's best, if you will. However, we see in verse number 12 how there were obstacles for him to overcome in order to enjoy the blessings of the Lord. The Bible says there were the Anakims, that's giants, and there were great walled cities there. Now we all need to realize something here, that there will always be obstacles for us to overcome if we're going to claim all that the Lord has for us. It could be the obstacles of worry or fear or pride or doubt or family problems, financial problems, or anything else. But you know, we see that in this text that even though he had great obstacles to war against and overcome, we see he did overcome these obstacles, and he was awarded with Hebron. Now, the question I find that right now I have for our attention tonight is what helped him to overcome these obstacles and claim all God had for him? What was it that helped him obtain what God told him was his in the first place? Now, when we are confronted with giants, we can either look at how small we are compared to them, or we can look at how small they are compared to God. Let me say it again. When you have a giant in your life that's trying to keep you from the promises of God, and that's trying to keep you from everything that God has for you, I'm talking about God's very best for your life. If you have a giant, everybody does, that tries to keep them from Hebron, that tries to keep them from receiving the mountain, that giant will either take over your focus or you will be focused upon God. Now, what I mean by that is we see that 10 spies in Numbers 14 had their eyes on the giants and they refused to enter the land. Yet Caleb still has his eyes on God. And he sees that these giants are big, but they're not bigger than his God, folks. Now, that being the case, let me just give you a thought here. I'm getting ready to give you an outline on what helped him get his mountain, what helped him receive his mountain. And these same things will help you receive yours. Derek Redmond was a British runner who participated in the 1992 Olympic Games in Barcelona. Barely into the 400-meter race, he pulled a hamstring and fell to the ground. Everyone thought he was finished, but much to the surprise of the spectators, this athlete slowly stood and began to hobble around the track. Can you imagine? Some of you may have seen this. He began to hobble around the track. But it became apparent that he could not in his own strength do that. He was going to collapse again. But right before he collapsed, there was a man that came out of the stands and intertwined arms with him and slowly walked with him as the crowd was roaring. You can imagine. And this man and this runner, intertwined with arms, walked across the finish line. The beautiful thing is when they found out who that man was his daddy. And can I say something to you? You cannot claim you're a mountain in your own strength. You have a pulled hamstring. You have no strength in yourself. But yet God Almighty, your Heavenly Father, if you're saved, He wants to help you across the finish line. He wants to help you claim everything He has for your life. Now that being the case, I want to dwell on this thought. What helped Caleb get his mountain? What helped him? I've got several thoughts for you tonight. Number one, by the way, you're going to see how everything that helped him centered on his God, not himself. Number one, promise by his God. The first thing that helped him receive his mountain was promise by his God. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Look at verses 6 and 9. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. Look at verse number 9. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. Look at verse number 12. Now therefore give me this mountain. Now notice this language. Whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. In these verses we see how Caleb is reminding Joshua of the promise that God gave him 45 years ago. Now, he knew that this mountain was already given to him by the promise of his God. And he simply was claiming it for the glory of Almighty God. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 34 to 36. And the Lord heard the voice of your words, and was wroth and sware, saying, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land, which I swear to give unto your fathers, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord. You know the first thing that helped Caleb get his mountain? Promised by his God. His God had already promised it to him, and he was simply cashing in on the promise of God. Now let me ask you this question. What is it that God has promised to you? There are promises of God throughout the Word of God. No doubt about it. There are so many promises within the Word of God that applies to your life and mine. All we've got to do is understand that no matter what promise it is, there is a giant and a great walled city that's going to try to keep you off that mountain. But you have a promise of God that God simply wants you to trust Him and claim. And when you claim it, He'll take care of those giants, folks. And He'll take care of the great walled cities too. The first thing that helped him receive his mountain was promised by his God. Now listen to me, there is a big difference between a promise and a possession. Let me say that again. There's a big difference between a promise and a possession. Caleb had a choice here, whether he would go up on that mountain and fight those giants. He had a choice. Now, had God promised that to him, yes or no? Yes. But God has made it to where these people, you if you're saved, you must show faith in God and you must go claim it. If you do not claim it, it's God's promise to you, but it never becomes your possession. If you're going to have it as a possession, you've got to claim the promise. Number one, promise by his God helped him get that mountain. Number two, pursuit of his God helped him get it. Promise by his God. Number two, pursuit of his God. Look at verses 8 and 9 and notice the language here. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Now notice what he says. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. Now in these particular verses, we see an amazing statement given about Caleb. It's the statement how he wholly followed the Lord. Now you know what that word followed means? It means to pursue. It means to go after. You know, this simply means, now listen to me, in verse number 8, he's giving this statement about himself. He's speaking about himself. He said, I wholly followed the Lord. In verse number 9, Moses said the same thing about him. But I'm going to show you something. Hold your place here and flip back to the book of Numbers with me just a moment. Hold your place here now because we're coming back to it. Go to Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14, I'm showing you something. What helped Caleb get his mountain? We're looking at Caleb's mountain tonight. Give me this mountain. What was it that helped him get his mountain? Well, number one was promised by his God. God had already promised it to him and he was claiming it. Number two, pursuit of his God. The Bible says he wholly followed the Lord. He said it about himself. Moses said it about him. Look at Numbers 14, 24. Now God is speaking. God is speaking here. Notice what he says. But my servant Caleb, Numbers 14, 24, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully. Now I'm going to tell you something, that's a convicting statement to me. Because Moses is not saying this now, and Caleb's not saying it, God is now saying it. God said, Caleb has followed me fully. You know what this means? This means he was not a take it or leave it Christian. This means that he was not a half-hearted man of God. He was a man who followed after the Lord with all of his might. He gave the Lord everything he had. He was fully committed to pursuing the Lord, not things. And I'm telling you here, folks, that it, listen, wouldn't you agree that it's one thing for Caleb to say it about himself? Wouldn't you agree that it would be an exalted privilege for Moses to say it about you? He's wholly followed the Lord. But it's another ball game when God steps out on the portals of glory and says, I'll tell you something about Caleb. He couldn't do anymore and he's doing. Let me ask you a question. If God were to audibly speak concerning you and your following of him, what would he say? Would he say he or she has wholly, completely, fully followed me? You know one thing that helped Caleb get his mountain? He pursued God. He went after him. I wonder, who are you following? By the way, every person pursues something or someone. You are in hot pursuit. My question is what or who are you pursuing? All you got to do is look around. There are people pursuing so many things. They're pursuing money. Fame. They're pursuing immorality and feel-good things and drugs and sports. And they're pursuing dates and pursuing other people and pursuing a happy marriage and pursuing all these other kind of things. Can I tell you something, folks? If you're pursuing anything or anybody else other than God, you're missing what life is all about. Life is made up of going after Jesus Christ, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We are not running, listen to me please, we're not running for things, we're running to Jesus. He is at the finish line. He is standing there and he's going to award every child of God with himself some glorious day. Can you imagine seeing the face of Jesus? Can you imagine seeing the nail-scarred hands and the nail-scarred feet? Can you imagine seeing the place on his side? Can you imagine seeing Jesus Christ for the first time? I'm telling you, we are to have him in complete view and we are not to be alleviated this way or that way or distracted this way or that way. What Caleb said, he said, I've got one thing on my mind and that's God. I'm going after him. There was a story told of a house church in the former Soviet Union several years ago. They had to meet in secret to avoid, you know, some things from the communist government. One Sunday, these believers arrived inconspicuously in small groups, you know, so they wouldn't draw attention to, you know, about themselves. They were finally all in there safely inside. Doors were locked, windows were closed. And they began to sing a hymn quietly but with deep emotion. Suddenly, the doors flew open and in walked two soldiers with loaded automatic weapons. And they said, all right, everybody up against the wall. And they said, now if you wish to renounce your commitment to Christ, get out of here now. Two immediately ran out the door. Another one not long after. They were waiting a few minutes and said, okay, you've got one more chance. If you do not leave, you will suffer the consequences. There were people trickling out, you can imagine, maybe one by one. But there was a group of believers there who refused to leave. They were looking down at their children just with looks of assurance. They thought either they would be gunned down or imprisoned at least. When it was made obvious that this group is the group that's not going to leave, those soldiers said, okay, everybody put your hands up in the air. But this time, praise God, because we're converts along with you. And said, I want you to know something. We were sent by the government not long ago to another house church, and the other one jumped in and said, yeah, but we were converted when we got there. And we've learned that if your faith is not good enough to die for, you're not much at all yourself. Let me ask you a question. I'm paraphrasing some of that story, you understand. They said, we've learned by experience that unless people are willing to die for their faith, they cannot be fully trusted. If somebody busted in these doors and they had automatic weapons and they said, if you renounce your faith, you're free. If not, you'll suffer the consequences. Would you keep your seat? It's easy to sit there tonight because there's no threat of that really, but that could happen, folks. I'm asking you, who are you pursuing? Caleb was pursuing God. President Eisenhower told this tale. He said an old farmer had a cow that he wanted to buy. That not he. He had a cow that some other people wanted to buy. When they went over to visit with this farmer, they asked about the cow's pedigree. Farmer had no clue what they were talking about. So they asked him about the cow's butterfat production. He told us, I have no idea what you're talking about, whatever. Finally, we asked him if he knew how many pounds of milk the cow produced every year. The farmer shook his head and said this. He said, I don't know, but she's an honest old cow and she'll give you all the milk she has. You know what? That's a funny little story. But may God see his children as being honest old Christians who will simply give him everything they've got. You know how God's heart must be broken when he sent his only begotten son Jesus Christ to suffer the sin debt of the world. And there are many of his own children who have been saved by the blood of Christ, who many times take or leave church. They take or leave soul winning. They take or leave reading the Bible. They take or leave prayer life. They take or leave doing what God wants them to do. God help us, folks. You know? What is it that helped Caleb get his mountain? Promised by his God. Pursuit of his God. Number three, praise for his God. We see this back in Joshua chapter 14. Look at verse number 10. Joshua chapter 14, verse 10. And now behold, this is Caleb speaking, the Lord hath kept me alive as he said these 40 and 5 years. Now, in this verse we see Caleb giving the Lord all the praise for keeping him alive for 45 years from the time of his promise. Now, the point I'm trying to make here is how Caleb did not say it was his own know-how. He did not say it was his military experience that kept him alive. He said, I want to make one thing clear. It was God who's kept me alive for these 45 years. See, he was giving heartfelt praise to his God for his goodness to him. As a matter of fact, you know what's interesting? To note that whenever Caleb is speaking in the Bible, now I'm not talking about when he's being spoken about, I'm talking about when he is literally speaking. It's interesting to note that when he is speaking, a majority of the time, he's talking about God and he's giving him praise. You know, this is how we should be with our Lord. It must be a stench in God's nostrils to provide for us and give us good things, and yet many spend time complaining about frivolous things instead of looking up and giving praise to God for his mercy and gracious goodness in our lives. I was talking to my wife several months ago now about a sermon thought that a preacher friend of mine gave me going back to the book of Numbers chapter 14. Remember the 12 spies? Caleb was one of them. And the 10 spies came back and was talking about the giants and talking about the great walled cities. But the Word of God is careful to talk about the grapes as well and how it took two men to carry one cluster of grapes between them. And this preacher friend of mine told me, he said, Jody, he said, let me ask you a question. He said, what about those grapes? What about those grapes? And he said, I began to apply that in a message that I preached. He said he had his children down like on the front row. And he said, I was preaching about the troubles of life. Oh, this hitting me. This is hitting me. This is hitting me. And he said, Jody, I went down and grabbed one of my kids. And I said, folks, but what about the grapes? What about those grapes? My wife took that thought and wrote a song on it. It's a great song. Not because I'm singing on it or she is either, but it's a great thought. You know what Caleb never got over? The grapes. He never got over the goodness of God in his life. And every time almost you hear him speaking, he's praising God. Let me ask you a question. Do you spend time praising God more than you do about complaining about other things? Now that's a dart in our heart right there. You know what I mean? I'm sure we have no complainers here tonight. I'm sure we have nobody who complains at all. And I'm sure that there's a smile on your face all the time. But can I say this to you folks? If our life was completely chaos and yet we're saved, we still have enough to have a smile on our face about. You know one thing that helped him get his mountain? Praise for his God. Psalm 7:17, I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Psalm 117, 1, oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations, praise him, all ye people. Psalm 146, 2, while I live will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. What was it that gave Caleb his mountain? Promised by his God. What was it that gave Caleb his mountain? Pursuit of his God. What was it that gave Caleb his mountain? Praise for his God. What was it that gave Caleb his mountain? Number four, provision from his God. We see this in verse 11. Notice what he says, and yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then when I was 40, even so is my strength now at 85. For war, both to go out and to come in. Now, I'm not asking if anybody has that same personal testimony tonight. But there's a great thought here, and that is this. Caleb knew that he was old, and yet he knew it would be a battle for him to claim the promise of God in his life. However, he knew that his God had provided the strength he needed to claim that promise. In other words, the Lord had provided Caleb with everything he needed to receive his promise. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? This doesn't mean that if you're 75 or 85, this doesn't mean that if you're not as strong as you were when you were 40, that you're wrong with God. That's not what this is teaching. What this is teaching is that there was a promise that God gave him 45 years ago. And they're now in the promised land and he's yet to claim it, but now he's claiming it. And God has provided the strength for him to be able to do it. Do you understand what I'm saying? He provides what you need to get your mountain that he has for you. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. What was it that gave Caleb his mountain? What was it? It was promised by his God, pursuit of his God, praise for his God, provision from his God. Number five, persuasion in his God. We see this in verse number 12. Notice the last part of it. He said, if so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. Now in this verse we see Caleb was well aware that the mountain had obstacles to overcome. But he also knew that if the Lord would be with him, he would be able to drive them out. In other words, he was fully persuaded that his God is more powerful than any obstacle on that mountain. He was showing great confidence and faith in his God to deliver him from these obstacles and give him the mountain that he had for him. Can't you see Caleb just climbing up that mountain with a sword in one hand and a signed deed by God in the other, singing the chorus of that song that Brother Gary taught us tonight, I want that mountain. I want that mountain where the milk and honey flow, where the grapes of Eshcol grow. I want that mountain. Give me that mountain. That's Caleb, folks. Caleb's one of the unsung heroes of the Bible. What great faith he had in his God to give him all that he had promised him. You know, the captain of an ocean steamer tells that on one occasion his ship was engulfed in a dense fog off the coast of Newfoundland. It was Wednesday evening and the captain was up on the bridge for 24 hours when somebody tapped him on the shoulder. He turned around and to his amazement, it was George Mueller. Can you imagine George Mueller on the ship with you? And he said, Captain, I must be in Quebec on Saturday afternoon. The captain said, that's impossible. He said, he said, yes, that's impossible. Mueller said, let's go down to the chart room and pray. The captain thought he had a lunatic on board. But he went down and he said, do you know how dense the fog is? Mueller said, no, my eye's not on the density of the fog, but on the living God who controls every circumstance of life. Kind of put him in his place, you know. Once in the chart room, Mueller got down on his knees and prayed, oh Lord, if it be consistent with thy will, please remove this fog in 5 minutes. Thou knowest the engagement thou didst make for me in Quebec for Saturday. I believe it is thy will. Wouldn't you love to have been there? After he prayed, the captain started to pray and Mueller tapped him on the shoulder and said, there's no reason to pray. The fog's already gone. Lift up your eyes and look. You say, Jody, what's the point? The point is this. Our God can do anything he wants to do. You know what he's waiting on? Somebody be persuaded in him. Somebody show faith in him. Somebody believe him for his power. By the way, this is the same George Mueller who believed God for his provisions. He raised, now get this, over $4 million for his orphanages and never asked men for a dime. Never asked him for a dime and raised $4 million. You say, what's that do to you? It makes me feel like a piece of dirt. What's it do to you? When he had needs, he took them to God, asking in faith and received that which he needed. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Somebody says, well, if I could just see it, I'd believe it. That's not faith. That's not faith, that's sight. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. 2 Corinthians 4:18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but to the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. See, God had promised 45 years prior to these verses in Joshua chapter 14. He had promised 45 years prior to these verses that he was going to give Caleb a mountain, a possession. Caleb is now 85 years old, and he's carried that promise of God in his heart for 45 years. Now, by faith, he's saying, give me this mountain. And even though there were big obstacles to overcome, we see what helped him claim it all was promised by his God. Pursuit of his God. Praise for his God. Provision from his God. And persuasion in his God. Now I ask you this question. What mountain does God want you to claim tonight? What mountain does God have for you if you'll simply claim his promise? Pursue him with all of your heart. Praise him for his goodness. Accept the provision that he's given you. And be persuaded in faith that what he has promised, he is able also to perform. It's one thing to preach it. It's another thing to hear it. It's another thing to claim it and get up on the mountain and say, give me now this mountain. May we have an outbreak of Christian people tonight who will come to the altar and say, God, I'm simply asking you, give me that mountain. Give me that mountain. May the Lord help us with it. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you. Help us to serve you and to please you and to glorify you. Would you help people to claim the mountains that you've given us? There are so many mountains for the taking. So many mountains that have been promised by God. So many mountains that if we will simply pursue you and you alone, that you'll give it to us. If we'll praise you and not complain, you'll give it to us. You've provided the strength necessary to get it. We just need to be persuaded in you and step out by faith. God, help us to do that. Your heads are bound, your eyes are closed, they're playing through softly. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Has there been a time in your life where you've trusted Christ and Christ alone? Are you saved? Are you born again? If you don't know the Lord as your Savior, what a great time to trust Him tonight. Come and let us take a Bible and share with you how you can know the Lord as your Savior. Or maybe you're a Christian, you say, Jody, I want that mountain. Let me be honest. You say, Jody, I want to echo what Caleb said. God, give me that mountain. Have you have that desire in your heart? Would you raise your hand? You have that desire in your heart? Why don't some of you, maybe many of you, I'm not talking maybe to all of you. I want the Lord to be in it. But maybe many of you, maybe as a family, there's a mountain that God has promised you as a family. You understand what I'm saying? Whatever promises God has given to you, whether it concerns your marriage or concerns your children or concerns your job or concerns your life or concerns whatever in life, whatever in the Word of God He's promised you, that is a picture of a mountain. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? He's waiting on you to claim it. Claim it. Pursue Him and Him alone. Be persuaded in Him and take that next step. No matter how big the giant may be or the great walled city may be, God is bigger. Just believe Him. He's already promised you. Step out by faith and claim the promise. Maybe many of you need to come to the altar and say, God, give me that mountain. There may be somebody struggling with something that's happened in the past. There may be somebody dealing with grief. There may be somebody dealing with financial problems, whatever. There may be somebody that God's been calling or what. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to tell you something. God has given you a promise for your need. He said, I will provide your need. Have you claimed that? Have you got that mountain? Or are you letting the giants scare you off and get you off of that mountain? May God help Christians to come and say, I want that mountain. Give me that mountain. Well, the milk and honey flow. May God help you to do it. Let's all stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, bless it. Help many to respond to this invitation. Coming forward and saying, God, give me that mountain for my depression. Give me that mountain for my grief. Give me that mountain for my marriage. Give me that mountain for my life. Give me that mountain for my children. Give me that mountain for my church, my bus route, my Sunday school class. Give me that mountain. Father, help us to respond in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing. If God is speaking to you, leave your place and come. As he sings, come on.
Have faith in God.
Come on.
He's on his throne.
Claim the mountain.
Have faith in God. He watches o'er his own. He cannot fail. He must prevail. Have faith in God. Have faith in God.
You're still standing. I'd like you to look this way. There's been a good response, but there's still time for you. Have you say, Jody, there's something I'm dealing with that I need a mountain that's been promised to me. Would you raise your hand? You need a mountain like that. Raise your hand big and high. I'm asking you, have you claimed it? Maybe you don't even know what that promise is. Seek advice. Seek counsel. Study. Find that promise, and when you find it, claim it. Pursue God with all of your heart. Be persuaded that it's God that gave you that promise. And I don't care what giant's staring down at you and saying, I'm bigger than you, I'm bigger than you, I'm bigger than you, I'm bigger than you. You take that giant to the foot of Jesus Christ and see if he's still running his big mouth. Amen. Our God is much bigger than any giant. And if God says this is yours, it is yours for the taking. But he wants you to make the decision to claim it. And if you claim it, there's not a giant on this earth that can keep you off that mountain. Not one. Brother Gary sings again. Maybe God's speaking to you. Come on, let's talk to the Lord about these things as he sings. You come on. Come on, please.
Have faith in God. He's on his throne. Have faith in God. He watches o'er his own. He cannot fail. He must prevail. Have faith in God. Have faith in God.
Amen. Amen. There are folks still praying. I just want them to play through softly. I want to give them their time here. Let me encourage you to be back in your place Wednesday night, asking God to meet with us in a great way. I appreciate you being here tonight. You don't have to come. You chose to come. Thank you for being here. I'm encouraging you to be faithful to God, folks. We'll be glad one day when we see him face to face. Be faithful to him. Pursue God this week. If I could leave you with one thought today, pursue God. Go after him. Get your eyes off of other things, off of other people. Go after God. If you'll go after him, it'll be well worth it when you get to the end of it. No doubt about it. May the Lord help us. I want to praise the Lord for giving me strength to make it through this day. I'm going to go home and crash. You don't mind if I do that, do you? My wife's still looking. I love you, honey. Here it is. I'm coming home to you. I need some tender love and care. Amen. Good. What are you laughing about, huh? Barney? Yeah, good. Wonderful. I'm going to ask Brother Gary to come to the pulpit. I got it right. To the pulpit. And he's going to dismiss us in prayer. We love you, folks. Hope you know that. If you don't know that by now, you've got mental problems. We love you. Yes. Okay. Okay. Let's pray for this niece whose husband passed away. Okay. Amen. Be back Wednesday night right in your place, okay? 7 o'clock. God bless you.
Remember this family with the burden tonight. Think of the Fair family and Phillips family, Brother Mike, folks who've lost loved ones, Brother Cole. Lord, we pray you'd minister to each of these folks. And Lord, for many of these are huge mountains and difficult times for them. And we thank you, Lord, that you have the power to carry folks through and to give them the grace that will be sufficient for their circumstance. And Lord, we pray that you would help us this week to be victorious in our Christian walk, to know your presence and your power as we seek to do your work. And Lord, may you just anoint us and help us, Lord, as a church family to live for you and to have an impact for you in this community, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. By the way, if there's a man that had lost his wedding ring this morning, over in this section we have it here for you. String ensemble, meet here quickly right here by the organ.